Welcome to Unreal Interviews with Dr. Page. These are the conversations that never actually happened, but absolutely should have. Because in this series, I explore leadership, accountability, and high performance through the lens of some of the world's most legendary interviewers. But here's the twist. They're not actually here. These conversations are inspired by their signature styles and reimagined to challenge how we think about what it really takes to lead well today. The hosts may be unreal, but the insights, well, they couldn't be more real. So let's dive in. Today, I'm asking AI to channel their inner Tim Ferriss, curious, tactical, and a little bit unconventional. Let's see how they go. So here's AI-generated Tim. Paige, welcome to the show. I've been looking forward to this conversation because you operate at the intersection of leadership, anti-fragility, and accountability. Three things that seem more relevant today than ever. Before we dive deep, I'd love to start with a simple but revealing question. What's something unusual or non-obvious that you believe about leadership that most people don't? Well, that's such a great kickoff from AI-generated Tim, isn't it? One of the things I believe is that exceptional leadership is available to each of us. We've just got to find what our particular blend of it is. And that leadership, when we show up in our particular blend, in our variety of it, is the most potent leverage point in any system, whether that's a team, an organization, a family, or a community, to create positive change. It begins when we lead ourselves, show up for others, and create communities and systems that can generate transformation and positive impact. Here's what AI-generated Tim has to say. I love that. Leadership is a highly individualized but deeply systemic force. It reminds me of something I heard from Derek Sievers. If it's not remarkable to you, it won't be remarkable to anyone else. So let's make this tactical. When someone is trying to discover their particular blend of exceptional leadership, where do they start? Are there questions they should ask themselves? Experiments they should run? Great question, AI-generated Tim. Look, I think the thing for each of us to do is, there are a few things. One is to really reflect on when we feel we've been most true to ourselves, when we've been shining in our strengths, when we feel that we have been able to achieve something that for us has been quite out of the ordinary. It's been extraordinary in some way. And what I find is that this is often when we've put down some of the constraints that often we place on ourselves. It's kind of when we've broken our own rules. That's often when we have these moments of transformation. Because when we put down the rules that we've imposed on ourselves, but that actually hold us back, that's when extraordinary performance is possible. And these are the principles of exceptional leadership. It's about positive deviance. It's about breaking through the rules that hold us back in order to achieve breakthrough results. And I think that's just as relevant for each of us as it is for organizations and teams. Tim's response is, okay, so let's go deeper on that, because breaking the rules can be uncomfortable, even scary. Most people have spent their whole lives being conditioned to follow them. What's the first step in identifying the rules that hold us back? And how do leaders start breaking them without causing unnecessary chaos or resistance? It's so true. We are wired to create and feel a sense of belonging. And when we don't, that really can be challenging for us. Because breaking the rules can mean that we're putting ourselves at risk in some way of stepping outside of the tribe, stepping outside the safety of what's normalized, what's been normalized around here. So to do that, yeah, absolutely can feel unsafe. The thing to really check in on is what feels true to each of us. Where is it that in some way we might feel like we're playing small, we're having to stoop in some way? We're not able to show up in our authentic leadership. We're not able to speak our truth. And there are three questions that I reckon can really help with this. And they come from work that my colleague, Dr. Michelle McQuaid, has been doing around how we present our socialized selves to the world. And these three questions I reckon are really important in this space. They are, on whose terms am I doing this? For whose benefit is this being done? And at what cost? Because that cost can't always be to me. AI Tim's response is, that's powerful. On whose terms? For whose benefit? At what cost? Those are the kinds of questions that can unravel years of conscious conditioning. So let's say a leader asks those questions and realizes they are playing small. Maybe they've been operating on someone else's terms or sacrificing too much of themselves. Now they're faced with a choice. Stay safe or start breaking those limiting rules. What does the first bold move look like in practice? What's something tangible they can do today to start leading on their terms? Wow, well, isn't AI Tim throwing some great questions this morning? Look, I think the first bold move they can do is actually acknowledging that this is what's going on. And that, for some people, is a really big step just in and of itself to realize that they have been living and leading in a way that's untrue to them. The next thing, I reckon, is to actually get some clarity around, well, what would it mean to be true to oneself? So once you've got clear that actually these terms, they're not okay, that the benefit might be, but the cost certainly isn't. And it's then about doing the work to understand, well, what would your own terms look like? And what is the cost that is too much in this scenario? Because we need to be able to communicate this in a really clear and grounded way. And that means that we've got to do the work first with ourselves to get clear and grounded in what our position is. So maybe the first bold move is actually doing this and recognizing that you are living and leading in a way that's untrue to you. And then the next one is about, okay, get clear on what's okay, what's not okay. And this is about boundaries, right? And then it's about having a clear and grounded conversation, recognizing that actually the people that you're going to have this conversation with, they may not receive it well. So that in and of itself is another bold move. AI Tim's response, boundaries. I love that. And I think that's an underrated leadership skill because so many high achievers default to overextending themselves, saying yes to everything and then burning out. So let's get tactical again. What's one simple, high-impact boundary that leaders can set today that will immediately shift how they show up? I think boundaries are an absolutely crucial part of self-leadership and also in terms of demonstrating what good leadership looks like to others. So very simply, it could be a time boundary or a space boundary. So what could that look like in practice? Well, I love the research of Cy Wakeman in the US, a sociologist who's kind of looked at drama in the workplace. And one of the things that Cy is really clear about from her research is that an open door policy with leaders simply doesn't work because it just means there's a revolving door and that leaders don't get the time they need to do the real work of leadership. Because sometimes that means sitting and having deep work, time and space for deep work on a particular strategic or human resources based issue. So a boundary could be that when my door is closed, please don't disturb. When my door is open, please come in. Like just as simple as that. People don't get to just enter your workspace as a leader. If you work in an open plan office, it might be that there's a code where you put a particular, I don't know, your rubber duck up on the shelf above your workspace or next to your computer, and people know that rubber duck means you're in deep work time and please do not disturb. Now, of course, this is an excuse to never be available to the team, but it is setting a boundary so that you feel more in control of how your work life is lived. Setting boundaries around workspace and work time is a great place to start. And something as simple as whether a door is open or closed is a real clear boundary around how you want your time and space respected. AI Tim's response is, that's a great one, clear, visible, and immediately actionable. It reminds me of something Greg McKeown talks about in Essentialism. If you don't set boundaries, someone else will set them for you. Now, I imagine that when leaders start enforcing boundaries, especially if they've been more flexible or available in the past, they're going to get pushback. What's your advice for handling that resistance without backtracking or feeling guilty? look, it's really natural that there's going to be a response from other people as you start to shift and move boundaries. And when I work with leaders and teams on this, the thing I talk most about when we kind of reestablish or put in boundaries that haven't been in place before is to make it very clear and explicit what the boundary is and why you're putting it in place. Because needing to communicate this with others is almost a check-in with ourselves to make sure that the reasons we're doing it have integrity, and that we get to kind of check that, yeah, this is for good reason. This is actually to make a better contribution. This is actually so I can show up and be the best leader I can be for the people and the work that I'm leading. So I find making it very explicit and talking about it explicitly, explaining the what and the why, helps people get on board, even if it means that they may feel kind of disgruntled or uncomfortable for a while they get used to it. So Tim is saying, that makes a lot of sense, communicating the what and the why, not just for others, but as a self-check to make sure the boundary is serving the right purpose. So let's zoom out. We've talked about rule breaking, personal leadership and boundaries. But for leaders who are really serious about showing up in an exceptional way, who want not just to shift their own habits, but fundamentally change the way they lead, what's one practice, ritual or habit that you'd recommend they build into their daily or weekly routine? Look, I think that exceptional leaders are continually curious and continually learning. They're actively seeking the positive deviance in their own leadership. And by positive deviance, I mean that what are they doing that's outside the norm? What's exceptional that leads to extraordinary results? Now, what does that look like in terms of a habit or a practice? Well, they are curious. They're looking for new ways to do things. And they're experimenting. They're continually in an iterative experimentation loop. There's something I wrote about in my book, Becoming Anti-Fragile, called the forward learning loop. And it means that as we're doing things, we're in this what's called a reflective mindset. So that's the words reflection and action pushed together like a ship name. And what that means is that as we do new things, we're reflecting on how they're going. So we try something new. It doesn't need to be massive, just something quite small. And then we ask ourselves, okay, what went well? Where did I struggle? What am I learning? How am I going to apply that learning? And when and where am I going to do that? So there's some accountability at the end. So we're continually in this iterative kind of expanding nature of what does good look like in leadership? We're experimenting and then we're reflecting on that as we're taking action. And when we get to mastery, this becomes a real-time process so that you're then actually able to adjust the course of your leadership, what you're doing, your energy, the questions you're asking in real time. But to begin with, it might be that this is something that you do at the end of each day or as you come out of each meeting, or that you have a meta review at the end of each week. Tim's response is, that's such a powerful shift, turning leadership into an ongoing experiment where reflection fuels progress. And I love how you framed it. What went well? Where did I struggle? What am I learning? How will I apply that learning? That's a framework leaders can run daily, weekly, or even in the moment. Now, before we wrap, I want to flip the script a bit. We've talked about leaders expanding their potential, breaking limiting rules, and showing up more authentically. But let's go to the other end of the spectrum. What's one common leadership behavior you see that people think is helping them, but is actually holding them back? Oh, well, AI Tim, this is an easy one. And it's this idea of that good leadership looks like leaders having all the answers. I see this time and time again, where leaders think that they need to be able to solve all the problems, meet all the challenges, and give their teams the answer. And yet we know, because the environment and context in which we're leading, the change is increasing, it's complexifying. And now, as we have AI, ironically, things are just going to keep getting faster and more kind of complex and challenging. It's going to come back to how we manage people, not how we manage technology. And that means that leaders need to put down this idea that they need to have all the solutions and actually be with their people, partner with their people in finding the way forward, the most effective way forward to achieve progress and extraordinary performance, high performance. And that means that there's a connection that we need to establish that really communicates clearly as leaders that we are with our people. We're not doing leadership to them. We're not trying to take over and micromanage and do things for them. We're in this energy of partnering. But what that means is that leaders need to let go of this idea that they need to provide all the answers and all the solutions and bring their teams with them on a journey of co-creation so that together in a partnering energy, we find the best way forward. The response from AI Tim is, that's such a big one. The shift from having the answers to co-creating the way forward, that's a game changer. And yet so many leaders struggle with that because their identity is wrapped up in being the expert, the fixer, the one who knows. So if a leader is hearing this and thinking, okay, I get it. I want to step into more of a partnering energy, but I don't know where to start. What's the first conversation they should have with their team to begin that shift? The thing with this Tim, AI Tim, is that it takes it can take time for people to unlearn patterns and habits of the way that they've been in the team. It's unrealistic for leaders to expect that just because they've made the change, their team has made an equivalent change. And so it's about really creating a safe space so that team members know that they can put forward ideas, that actually that's what's wanted, that this is no longer about just asking questions and expecting a leader to provide the answers. Leaders can encourage this by asking more questions than giving answers and really getting used to holding space. And I mean, literally, you know, maybe holding silence, maybe not so it gets uncomfortable, but bringing more questions in, perhaps asking team members to prepare ahead of a meeting so that they have some ideas and maybe ask them to submit them first so that there isn't kind of performance anxiety in the room. And if need be, the leader can refer to, oh, person X, you suggested ABC. Would you mind sharing a bit more of that in the room? So it's about how we give teams kind of an on-ramp into perhaps this different dynamic rather than expecting it to change overnight. That's such an important point, says AI Tim. Leaders can't just flip a switch and expect the team to instantly adjust. I love the tactical approach you shared, asking more questions, holding space, and giving people structured ways to contribute without pressure. So let's bring this full circle. We started with the idea that exceptional leadership is about breaking the rules that hold us back. If someone listening to this is fired up, ready to step into a new level of leadership, but maybe feeling a little intimidated by the change, what's one final piece of advice you'd leave them with? The final piece of advice is I would ask them to look back on their leadership experience and identify their moments of positive deviance. Where have they achieved extraordinary outcomes? Where have they felt really true in their leadership? Where have they perhaps broken rules as they've done that? Rules that maybe they've self-imposed, or rules that means that they've stepped outside the cultural norms around them. Because what this does is by looking back on when it's happened before, by identifying where they have already been positive deviants, this creates confidence and it creates momentum for the possibility of the future. AI Tim says, that's such a brilliant reframe. Rather than starting from scratch, look for evidence that you've already been exceptional in your own way. That's empowering because it proves that this isn't about becoming someone else. It's about amplifying what already works. Paige, this has been incredible, deeply insightful, super actionable, and honestly, a bit of a rule-breaking conversation in itself. Where can people go to learn more about your work and dive deeper into exceptional leadership? Well, AI Tim, people can find me at drpaige.au, where there are all kinds of resources. There's my newsletter, and they can find out more about my work and my books. Thanks so much for this interview today, AI Tim Ferriss.